I feel like this service has been a little bit of a snapshot of what I was going to say today, which is basically, let's have fun being a family this year. So at the beginning of 2015, I was praying on New Year's Day, and I was saying, Lord, what do you want? And he just said, I want you to enjoy it. Simple as. Just enjoy it. And then I was just thinking about, you know, how I really like to work with people who are fun to work with. I like working with people who are just, they just have a good time. And they're not, you know, they're not too intense. They're nice people who are in a good mood. I felt like the Lord saying, you know, you're my business partner. I want to enjoy working with you, Dave. not that I'm not fun to work with already, but it's just that principle of just enjoy it. Seriousness isn't a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is fruit number two. And then, you know, all week I've kind of been umming and ahhing about, like, oh, you know, what should I speak about? I'm not really sure what to speak about. I was thinking about various things, and it got to this morning, and I was thinking, I'm still not really sure. And then I had the still small voice of God, I think, say, it was really cool that the year started with a wedding. How about we start as we mean to go on? And I think that's it, really. You know, and what was the wedding? What's the wedding about? You know, the wedding, it was about family. It's about celebration. It's about being together. It's about friendship. It's about having fun together. It's about promises fulfilled for Paul and Amy. It's about hope for the future. You know, that for me is what the wedding yesterday encapsulated. And I almost feel like it was kind of similar to, you know, when I always think it's really interesting that Jesus started his ministry at a wedding, turning water into wine. It's like God is coming to show us what God is like. And he starts by turning water into wine at the end of the party when everyone is already drunk and says, you know, I'm here to party. And he comes and he lays out like the overarching narrative of this is the year of the Lord's favor. This is God and he's good and everything that like a wedding stands for, relationships, fun, family, wholesome, goodness. Like that's what God wants to hold up and raise high and celebrate. And it's not that like in the life of Jesus there wasn't, you know, any hard times or conflict or difficult things or mourning or anything like that, even though he was saying the narrative is one of rejoicing. But it's not that, you know, that wasn't the case. And I don't think that's not going to be the case for 2015, is that there's going to be no hard times, there's going to be no conflict, there's going to be no, you know, digging deep or, you know, or mourning or crying or anything like that. Because that's just life, isn't it? We live in that, we have that tension all the time of, on one hand we have tears and on the other hand we have laughter. And that tension is a tension that we find within ourselves. Within ourselves we have, you know, I'm crying one day, I'm like in hysterics the next. It's just this kind of this odd tension that is in humanity. Right now there are people who are mourning, right now there are people who are celebrating. There's this like, there's just this tension, isn't there? And there's right time for both. So it's not that we don't have any crying or anything like that, and we just kind of G ourselves up in, like, you know, 2015 is going to have no bad things. But I really felt like God say, 2015 is about enjoying, celebrating as God's family. And let that be our overarching banner for the year, under which everything else happens. So that's why. Does that sound good? Yeah. Does that sound okay? I haven't really got anything particularly profound to say today. Just want to warn you. I just think I've just got two fairly simple things that I just felt to bring that kind of come underneath that. So how do we have a good time together? How do we enjoy celebrating together as God's family this year? Well, for me, there are kind of two things in our thinking that I'd like to have and kind of journey together in. The first is, let's seek together to just to have a higher perspective on things, really. You know, in Numbers 13, Moses is with the people, you know, of Israel, and they're thinking of kind of, you know, taking the land of Canaan, which is the land that kind of God had promised to them, it's land flowing and milk and honey and stuff. And Moses sends out a load of spies into the land of Canaan. And they come back, now they go out, and they're like, yeah, the land is just as we thought. It's flowing with milk and honey. They bring back loads of fruit. And they report it to Moses. Go, yeah, the land's sweet as. We've got fruit, we've got milk, we've got honey. It's great. There's only one problem. These guys are crazy. There's way too many of them. And they're huge. And they're really aggressive. And we cannot outnumber them. And so the people are mourning because the report of, you know, all the spies that have gone out. And there's two spies in there. A guy called Joshua and a guy called Caleb. And they basically go, okay, everyone else thinks this. And that is good wisdom, and that is good logic. It's very well observed. But you've missed one thing. God's with us. That's a game changer. And they're like, we can take him. And everyone's like, no, no, no. And they're like, we can take him. Same situation, exactly the same circumstances, two totally different perspectives. One is the perspective of just normal human logic, which I think is really, really important. I don't really like to be someone who's like, you know, this is the flesh and this is the spirit, and, you know, this is secular and this is sacred. I don't like that. I think it's all holy. But the reality is there's two perspectives. There's man's perspective and there's a perspective of God's with us. And that story. You see the same story happen again and again throughout the Bible. You've got Jonathan and his armor bearer going, guys, God's with us. We can take on this garrison, two people. You've got David, and he's like, there's a whole army standing there who are totally chicken, and he's got the mindset. He's got it. God's with me. Changes everything. You've got Jesus. He's asleep in the boat. And the disciples, they're absolutely papping it. They think they're going to die because of like the storm. Same situation, same circumstances, two totally different perspectives. Jesus knew God was with him, and it's a game changer. And guys, God is with us. God is with us. And my prayer at the beginning of this year is the same prayer of Moses, is that, you know, we've got stuff coming up, we've got work to do, we've got, you know, stuff to be getting on with. But let's not move from this place unless God goes with us. Moses says, like, if your presence isn't going with us, we're not going. And that has to be our number one kind of heart cry at the beginning of the year. Is like, God, we need you. And for me, my prayer is I think, you know, God, it's fantastic what you're doing amongst us. You know, I love your presence, Lord. Lord, I'm so hungry for more. What more of you, Lord? I want to know that you're with me more, Lord. So I walk in that confidence of God's with me. That's a game changer. And that's the same for every single one of us. It's not just the same. It's not just, you know, that's not just the case for us as a church. It's God's with you in your workplace, Tay. That's a game changer. God's with you in your workplace, Son. It's a game changer. God's with you in your family, John. It's a game changer. Wherever God's calling us, whether or not it's the business, whether or not it's government, whether or not it's Dan in the school, God's with you, Dan. So together, my prayer is that we constantly seek to have that higher perspective. Let's learn from one another. Let's not like hold our own opinions about things too lightly in case we're one of the spies that got it wrong. You know, let's have big ears and small mouths. Let's be really quick to listen to one another, slow to speak, really quick to understand. Not just one another, but also quick to listen to God. I have this kind of saying, which is, that may be your opinion, but it doesn't mean you're right. I find it quite helpful in leadership. I have to say, it may be your opinion, and you may feel it really, really strongly. Doesn't mean you're right. But equally the same is of me. It might be my opinion, but it doesn't mean I'm right. So I think it's good to really give space to hearing one another's opinions, hearing God's opinion. And together, how about we get this higher perspective? Together we could get the mind of Christ together. So So how else do we get a good perspective? I think, you know, it's about prayer. It's all the usual stuff, really. It's about being a people of prayer. The reality is, it's tough to get that godly perspective, that higher perspective in our culture. Because, I mean, the reality is, today, we are bombarded with so much negativity in the press, in, you know, the media. The reality is, we hear more bad news in a week than someone 50 years ago would have heard in a lifetime. You know, we hear the deeds of evil men every week. Whereas 50 years ago, it wouldn't be like that. And so what happens is, culturally, we end up kind of cooking in a little stew of negativity. And it's cynicism creeps in, and hopelessness creeps in. And when hopelessness creeps in, you then just feel like you're powerless to make any change, and so all you can do really is sit on the fence and criticise. And so that's why we need to be people of prayer. When we take a bit of time aside just to sit and just hear the voice of God in the midst of all this, get out of the stew of negativity that we're bombarded with, and just go, hear the voice of God. Hope rises. And we no longer see problems, and we no longer see issues in life as giants, as the spies did. But we approach things with that mindset of, God's with us. As we become people of prayer, as we take time out to get out of the negativity, we hear God's voice, and we realize again, we're sons and daughters of the King. God's with us. And that's a game changer. And let that voice become the dominant voice, which means that we can get off the sidelines of being critical and just judging, you know, whoever or whatever in society, and we can become agents of change for good in this world. And lastly, I think it's good to read the Bible. How do we get a higher perspective? Let's read the Bible. Jesus says, you know, my disciples we'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Well, we need to know the truth. We're transformed by the renewing of our minds. So it's good to read the Bible together. I think this week I'm going to send out a link to a Bible in a Year scheme, which is not actually a scheme. I shouldn't have said that. A Bible in a Year link to like 10 different options of ways of doing a Bible in a Year. Whether or not it's like a daily thing, or a thing where you get a print off a chart and tick it off daily. There's lots of different ways of doing a Bible in a Year. And this link I'll send out is the way of, you know, all the various options. So you can find something that works for you. You know, recently I've just started gathering with Dan West and also a few other guys. You know, we just meet early in the morning and we just read the Bible together. We meet at 6, we read the Bible and we chat about it and we just pray. And God speaks to us every single time. He challenges us every single time. It's really simple. It's nothing new. But for me, there's something about being people of prayer, being people of the Word, being people who are quick to listen to one another and to God that enables us to get a higher perspective in life. Secondly, you know, if God's calling us to do cool stuff, which I think he is, and we've got that higher perspective, so we're like, yeah, we can take them. We can take on these giants. We can do the stuff that God's calling us to do. If our thinking's aligned with God's thinking, then I think it's really, really important that our speech aligns with God's thinking. Because our speech, our words create worlds. Our words create worlds. So I can go, hey guys, you're amazing. Go change the world. And you're going, oh, okay, thank you very much. Or I can go, actually, you know, you're all a bunch of losers. You're going to amount to nothing. Scum. You're not, by the way. Wonderful. But it changes things. It changes people, and people change things. You know, the whole, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's rubbish. Words are the most painful thing. Colossians 4, verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, as if seasoned with salt. Let your speech be always with grace, as if seasoned with salt. And in James the Bible says the tongue is like a rudder. You know, we've got our lives steaming along as like ships, and a little rudder can steer it off course. It's a dangerous thing. And then it goes on to say, we can praise God on a Sunday, but if we're kind of cursing on a Monday, that's not right. And so I want to encourage us together, let our words be seasoned with salt. Seasoned. Now, what was it? let's release life with our mouths. At Christmas, me and Chloe and Matthew, we formed a positivity pact. We were having a chat and we were just talking about the same kind of stuff. You know, there's so much negativity. It's really overwhelming. We were just hanging out with some Christians and they were just, you know, we were just watching TV and they were going, oh, you know, I really hate this person off The Apprentice or this person, you know, who are, you know, on The X Factor. They're an absolute idiot. And it was just like so much negativity. And we're thinking, you know, it's the same thing. It's just this kind of sitting on the sidelines. It's like, let's just put yourself in their shoes, you know. It's not just that. It's politicians. It's council leaders. It's, you know, it's anyone and everyone. People are so quick to criticize. And we were just going, you know what, let's just not have any of it. Let's just be positive. And so what we've said to each other, whenever anyone's negative, we're going to say, zoom out. And that's a little phrase that we use. We go, zoom out. Because often when you're focusing on a negative, you're really zoomed in. And you're focused in on this thing. And actually you zoom out and you go, actually, you know, that person, you know, I didn't realise this about them. They might have had a bad day or, you know, I couldn't do a better job, or the situation's way more complicated than it seems, or whatever, you know. Zoom out. So we say that to each other. And then that day, my auntie, who hadn't heard about this conversation or anything, she randomly said to us, she went, oh, you know, well, I won't talk to you guys about that because you guys are never negative about anyone. And it was like, she never said anything like that to us before. And it was almost like this little kind of confirmation of God going, I like the positivity pact. That's good. Because it does make a difference. People notice it. I really appreciate that. I am, like I said at the beginning, I'm really not saying anything new. I'm really, you know, you guys are all absolutely fantastic. But let's celebrate together. Let's have a great year. Let's choose to just to together go, God, what are you saying? What's your opinion on this? And then let's let our speech align with that. So last year, we spent a lot of energy as a church helping, kind of opening up our church or folding it inside out a little bit so that we could become more outward focused. Last year, we spent a lot of energy as a church turning ourselves outwardly in order just, you know, I'm not going to be happy, guys, until we're regularly seeing people come to know Jesus. Jesus' love is amazing, and that is our absolute number one priority, and that will continue to be our priority until we're seeing it. So that, you know, that we were working really hard on that last year. And so some of the things we put in place will actually take effect this year. So we've got things like Messy Church. We've got Alpha, which we're hearing about. We've got the Youth and Schools work, which we'll just hear about in a second. We've got Pete Street Associations. We've got the Love Marlowe Festival. We've got Healing Rooms being led by Patrick and Susie, on top of Wycombe, which you've already heard about, and River Life. You know, these are all kind of things which we've worked really hard on last year so we can do effectively the mission part of Family on a Mission. That's quite a lot of things. And so we're not going to start anything new next year, okay? What we're going to do is let those things become strong and really impact people's lives. And this year, whilst doing that, we're going to focus on being a family. Simple. And we're going to enjoy celebrating as God's family. We started with a wedding. Let's carry on in that vein. So let's have parties together. Let's have socials together. Going to get more organised. Going to work on our kids' work. I'd like to do a church holiday in September. Let's do family stuff. We'll keep doing the work. We'll let the mission stuff ride its course. And I pray and I hope and I anticipate that it will really genuinely impact people's lives. But whilst doing that, let's have fun together. And in the midst of all of that, let's be people of the presence. So the dwell meetings, I think, will be key to that. We're going to have dwell worship meetings here once a month, where we're just going to get in God's face. My prayer is that the holy, tangible, manifest presence of God will come, and we will be commissioned, we will be healed, we will be ignited, we will be saturated in God by God himself in those times together. So we can do stuff. So that we can go, hey, God's with me. Amen.